And if you're hoping that the 1891 Opera House has some good arts events in store for you, your hope is well-founded. In celebration of Women's History Month, the Art and Architecture Series is presenting the documentary Mary Cassatt, Painting the Modern Woman, on Saturday, March 25th at 1 p.m. Here to discuss her works with me is painter and professor Alberto Rey. Here with me now to talk about the upcoming documentary from the Art and Architecture Series at the 1891 Fredonia Opera House is Distinguished Professor of Art Emeritus, Mr. Alberto Rey. Alberto, welcome once again to the program.
It's a pleasure, Tom. It's always a pleasure talking to you about anything related to the arts. Well, I guess about anything, but...
but this is a good good expertise level. All right. So we have a program coming up about the impressionist artist Mary Cassatt, who is a very, very interesting figure in the world of impressionism. Of course, it's March. We're celebrating Women's History Month, and she, as a figure, has a lot of impact in terms of the time period, equal rights for women during the 19th century. She's a shining light.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, she was very influential and influenced by her mother, who was very educated, and her family in general was pretty well off. And I think their expectations for her was very different than her own expectations for her life. They wanted her to kind of get married and stay in kind of high society. And her expectations was that she wanted to be an artist and try to find and try to influence people towards providing more rights for women. And I think that's something that she fought for her entire life.
Ah, yeah, she did, and we will probably discover that as we move along. Now, as you say, her family came from wealth. I think her parents were, her father, I think, was a very wealthy stockbroker. They lived in various areas of Pennsylvania as she was young, but she really got the art bug when she traveled to Europe, because traveling to Europe was considered something that an educated person did in the 19th century. So she saw a lot of art there, and she was coming into a period of time where there was a lot of transition in the art scene, particularly in Paris.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think her family's lineage is from France or French, and her mother's family was in banking also, and her mother was a very well educated, and really helped her convince her father, who didn't want her to be an artist, to allow her to go to France and start studying, and through tutors. I don't think she could get into the art school at the time, so she did study with other famous artists at the time. I think one was Jerome, a realist painter, and she also did copies of paintings from the Louvre. And she stayed there for a short amount of time because she had to leave for the Franco-German War. When she came back, she was under the thumb of her father again, who wouldn't even supply her with art supplies. I mean, what kind of support is that? And wealthy family.
Not much. Mm. So, when we look at her work in time period, we're talking about someone who was familiar and generally speaking, knew all of a lot of the famous impressionists of the day. And I think one of the reasons she turned to the impressionists was because the salons had taken a few of her works, but they were not really happy about it. And she seemed to say, okay, well, I've had enough of that. Let me go someplace where my work is going to be more accepted. And that seemed to be to the Impressionists.
Yeah, I mean, she wanted to live a life that was less restrictive and to do art that was less restrictive. And she realized that for her, she did get into a couple, actually several exhibitions at the Paris Salon, but it was clear that they wanted something specific, and she wanted to do more experimentation and learn more. And she was drawn to Degas' work, and Degas was drawn to her work, and he invited her to exhibit with the other Impressionists. She was the only American who was in that group, and her work really grew and became much more expressionistic. Her brushwork became more expressionistic, and it wasn't about the details necessarily as much as about the form. So it was about the paint itself and the application of paint more than trying to make something realistic or super realistic. And so it freed her. And I think that group was also kind of antisocial in a way that they didn't go to with the norms. And that allowed her to break away from her restrictions, social restrictions, and was able to work and spend more time with other artists who were more inclined to do the type of work that she was.
She seems to have been particularly taken with Degas and his work with pastels. And when you look at some of that work from her period, you can really see that influence, how she used pastel colors to be able to create her paintings.
Absolutely. I think Degas, her studio was only a couple doors away from Degas. And she was a model for some of Degas' work. And Degas got her into not only pastels, but also into prints. And they were both influenced by the Japanese artwork as well. And that became evident in their prints as well. So although Degas was very conservative in his feelings about women's rights, they got along otherwise as artists. It's interesting that late in her life, unbeknownst to Degas, they put their work together to support women's right to vote. I don't think he would have been too happy about that. But provided a lot of financial support for suffrage at the time.
Yeah, she really had he was one of her mentors, as well as Camille Pissarro, whom we talked about, I believe, sometime early last year when Pissarro's collection came through too. Now, you know, when I look at her work itself, because I went and, you know, I just Googled her name, and all of these images came through. So many of them are portraits of women, of girls, of women in everyday life, women walking down the street, mothers and daughters. She just seemed to have a way of creating, and I'll give you my impression of it, and you can tell me, you know, you can react to that. But there's just this impression of calmness and quietness and you know, stillness in all of these works with women that are I find them to be incredibly beautiful.
Yeah, I think the work, I find it that there's two different periods, almost three different periods with her work. Well, her most notable work. I think her work during Impressionism, or Impressionistic influence, was her work was much more vivacious with a lot of brushwork and very powerful colors. And the backgrounds were very rich. And some people feel that might be one of her more powerful some of her more powerful work that occurred during that time. I think during, after a few years of working with the Impressionists, she kind of felt that she wanted to move on. And I think you'll find that her work becomes a little more what you're calling calm, that the work becomes more peaceful in a lot of ways. And she starts to depict more mothers and children in her work. And she starts to do also a lot of portraits and commission work. And she continues to do that. One of the things I found interesting was I found some of her pieces towards the end of her life when she was starting to lose her eyesight, and the work became rich again. It became, you know, maybe she was, you know, frustrated a little bit by not being able to see everything that she could see before, or by the limitations of her life later on. But these colors, these super rich colors came back, and these this brushwork came back to life again. And she started to, again, almost feel, it looked like she was giving up realism, maybe forcibly so, by her blindness or loss of sight, and started to incorporate more color and brushwork back into the work. So you lose the detail, but you don't, but you have the energy through the color and brushwork come back into her work again.
Yeah, she was very adamant towards the end of her life, I think, as she in her, later in her career stating that she was no longer attached to any particular school of painting, that she was no longer an impressionist or this or that or the other thing. She was merely a painter. And, you know, you can see in some of her later works that reality sort of come to life, where there's kind of, you see mixtures, you know, I mean, there's mixtures of things. You can see some great detail and some richness in some of the portraits, but with a more impressionistic background in a way.
Right.
Which I find rather interesting. There's one I'm looking at right now called A Child's Bath. I think it was 1893. And the specifics of the mother and child are very clear. But the background is very, the pastels and the colors are detailed, but muted. And it's an interesting mix.
Right. You know, I think the other thing that's interesting about her is, not only how domineering her father was, but as she became more and more famous, mostly famous in Europe more than the United States. I mean, she got the Legion of Honor Award for her contributions to art, and she sold quite a bit of work later on in her life. Her relatives, who were not supportive of her work, were, you know, I think at one point they were supposed to inherit most of her work. And because they wouldn't support that suffrage exhibition I was telling you about, she decided to just sell the work. So a lot of the work that was supposed to go to them was sold. And the contributions from those paintings, selling those paintings, were provided for to support suffrage. And the thing that's interesting was that she never forgave them, not only her family members for not supporting the exhibition, but for not lending her work, the work that they had of hers, for the exhibition. So it was kind of a bitter pill to take for her at the end of her life. And her brother also passed away at the end, right before she became ill. When they were on a trip to Egypt, he came ill and passed away. So it was kind of a tough end to a very kind of rich career. And again, she never married or had children herself. So she felt that she wanted to contribute, to kind of dedicate her life to her art.
Her work is not, you know, explicit in terms of political statements on, you know, the rights of women or anything like that. You know, she looked at painting women, and of course this exhibition at the Opera House is going to be about painting the modern woman. That's the subtitle of it. Her exhibitions and her paintings were more about trying to pull out that inner life of women, a deeper, more meaningful inner life. I think she was remarkable at actually achieving. Now, even though she didn't make any, you know, obvious statements in her artwork, she did, as you say, she contributed a lot of her efforts to getting her artwork into shows that would raise money for the suffragette movement and so on and so forth. So she participated when she could, but It's interesting that to me anyway, that she chose that path for her artwork rather than others that she could have chosen.
Mm-hmm. She did do a mural that didn't survive, that was, I think, destroyed over time, that I think was called Modern Woman. And it was, the mural was a three-part mural that included only women doing different roles in society. And because it didn't include any men, it created a lot of controversy. And although it did bring a lot of women who were interested in women's rights, did come to see the mural, but a lot of others did not appreciate it. It was a very different time the rights of women were just non-existent almost. Again, not only did you have no right to vote, but you couldn't even go to the bars or restaurants by yourself. You had to, come with, accompanied by somebody else. And that's just, the tip of the iceberg as to other expectations that were considered by society norms at the time.
Well, as always, Alberto, thank you for your wisdom and insight. I really do appreciate it. I think that this particular documentary of Mary Cassatt's work is going to be really interesting to people. And I think they might have the same impression that I got when I began to look at her paintings and looking at how she painted, the modern women in her era and what she tried to draw out of that, the languidness, the peacefulness, I think will be quite enjoyable for people who go see the documentary.
Yes, and I think it's discussions with an expert on Mary Cassatt's work, who's written several books and reviewed several others. So it'll be interesting to see what she's found in her research over the decades.
All right.
Thank you, Tom. It's always a pleasure.
Alberto's always very fun to talk to you, as all. And, we'll be catching you, hopefully, with another opportunity. Take care now.
All right. Take care.